B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Across the Delaware Valley. Wow, it's crazy. I hope everybody is having a great morning. It's cold, man, for a May day, May the 20th. It's a little nippy out there. It's been weird. I'll tell you, you wonder if the shutdown and has affected. Now, I know that the emissions are down by a lot. But you wonder really what kind of effect that has on the weather. Because it's been like windier. It's been, but the air yesterday that came through has been like this crisp, clean air. I don't know if that's an anomaly and just is what it is, or if that's because emissions are down. But like the air feels like clean and it's chillier. And you really do wonder about the effects of all the emissions. But a good morning. We will get a little bit warmer over the weekend as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend. And hopefully it's closer to the return of sports. Major League Baseball having it's a real issue trying to restart that league. I thought it would be difficult, but it's even harder than they thought because you got to get the states involved because you have the governors. I mean, I saw the governor of Maryland said, hey, you know, the buck stops here. If the Orioles are going to play, it's about me. So there's a lot of, you know, you're dealing with all kinds of stuff, all the different states. You're dealing with Canada. I mean, it's crazy. And we had a call yesterday bring up the international piece of it with hockey. And I got to tell you, I thought it would be a little bit easier, but it's not. And so they're having the same kind of issue. And you wonder, I mean, baseball's losing so much money, so much revenue, that I think they're going to try. But you wonder if they're going to come back. Like, as much as I get excited and hopeful, because you saw it, you know, in Germany, and then, you know, the Premier League will be back soon. So you see these leagues, the Italian league got to hit hard, and that Italian league is coming back, soccer league. So you got to think at some point it'll all start. The only one that's guaranteed to start, because they're already there, they have medical face masks underneath helmets. It's football. But the only sport that you know I don't mean that is the NFL, man. There is just too much at stake. The NFL will be back. I have no fear about the NFL. The only thing I worry about the NFL is, you know, fans or no fans. And that's the only thing. And we'll see. Only time will tell with that. But I actually feel the most confident with the NFL. And speaking of the NFL, at the end of the show yesterday, I know Mikey talked about it during his show, but at the end of the show yesterday, we played the Doug P. news conference. And, you know, it was a little update conference and all. And, you know, listen, I'm not one of these, you know, stir things up type of dudes, you know. Been covering sports a long time. And I'm straightforward down the middle with it. Every time I hear Doug, it feels like, and again, I brought this up in the show, it feels like there's something that's off with Wentz and Peterson. And again, I don't know what it is. It could be nothing. I already said this yesterday. I have no idea what it is. But Pat Egan, who was in yesterday, disagreed. Said, nah, I mean, you're looking into it. There's nothing. And then I went, all right, well, let's listen to the calls. Maybe, you know, they're seeing something I'm seeing. Because he referenced the quarterback yesterday as the quarterback. When he's talking about Andre Dillard and the progress he's making, he said, we have the utmost confidence in him. I do. The quarterback does. I'm thinking the quarterback. That sounds so, like, why would he just say Carson? And, you know, you start to think back, and there's never any of that, like, lovey-dovey between those two. Like, you don't see it. Now, maybe that's just their relationship, and not every relationship needs to be, you know, lovey-dovey or the Andy Mahomes relationship, which is real fatherly, and he's always kind of rushing to him, and he's next to him on the sidelines and coaching him up. I mean, you always see that. Now, maybe that, again, that could be just that's their relationship. Or it's like, they, you know, probably, or they just don't get along. Or they're not loving each other, so to speak. So I don't know. So it came up at the end of the show yesterday, and I'd like to discuss it because I'm curious where people's allegiance lies. Like, if you had to choose one or the other, who are you choosing? And again, I don't think it's that drastic. But I'm curious, you know, again, if the four callers that ended the show yesterday are right, were with me, like that's the majority, and, you know, where you line up? Because it just feels kind of off. Now, I'm very excited today because my man is back today. My main man, the Judas. What's up, Judas?
What's up, man? It's good to be back.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Man, I missed you.
I miss you, too.
My man.
I'm glad I'm back.
My man.
All's right with the world. I'm glad I'm back.
That's right, Coombs.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm putting together the field.
Good. Good. I could use some fun.
So we'll have some fun with that. I figure it's a good way to go into Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I'm in.
With that. Now, I don't know if you heard it yesterday.
I did.
And you had the show on, too.
So yes, I did. It, right? I listened to the playback. Sound great. It did sound ancient. It's so old.
Didn't it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, it is old. It's 37 years old. Not that.
But it's still modern media, right? Like, at least it should be modern media.
I guess. I mean, Dick Stockton's not getting tweets during the game in 1983.
Right. But, yeah. I guess so. I guess it is ancient. I'm thinking, I used to hear these like old, like Vince Lombardi, like those games. And the Packers are on the 20-yard line. You know, I don't know. It did sound ancient to me, that's for sure. Nice job putting together the playback, my man.
Yes, thank you. Credit, I was the assist. Pat Egan got the audio. I was just the assist.
All right, so.
Just did most of the work.
So tell me. You heard it. What's your take on it, man?
It's funny because when I first think about it, I go, dude, you're overreacting, right? You know, come on, man. Like, and maybe he just accidentally said the quarterback instead of Carson Wentz. But then I still kind of think it's an overreaction. But at the same time, man, it's not crazy because I always go back to the Clowney hit. And Doug never really had Carson's back. Like, maybe I'll go back and grab that audio for us today. Because he kept on, like, saying, oh, I got to see the tape. And then when he did see the tape, he was like, I guess, you know, the NFL didn't find it an illegal hit. Instead of going, man, that guy took a cheap shot on my franchise quarterback, knocked my guy out of the game, a playoff game, and we had to go to Josh McCown, who played well as he could with all respect to Josh McCown. But if we had Carson, we win that game. He never backed him up.
He has thrown more bouquets at Josh McCown. Do you remember? Oh, what a warrior.
Yes.
Oh, what, because he bent over and touched his toes? Oh, are you kidding me? He was horrible. Oh, warrior. He was overboard with Josh McCown.
Whereas with Carson, you said, I have to see the tape.
He got crushed.
And I remember feeling a certain type of way after that press conference going, wow, Doug didn't really have Carson's back there. So I say yesterday, okay, maybe it's a bit of an overreaction to take away the quarterback instead of saying Carson as, oh my God, Doug and Carson don't see eye to eye. But if I do go back to that playoff game and I go, wow, this is another moment where Doug kind of isn't showing that much love to Carson, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know what's not to love. I don't know if it's he gets upset that he gets hurt and misses time and he won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. I don't know what it is, Anthony, but there might be something there. There may be, maybe we're taking away too much from it, but there may be something.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying it's, you know, they can't work together. I mean, that's stupid, right? I mean, obviously they can work together, but I just don't sense that relationship. That, again, I go back to, listen, you know, Belichick and Brady, look, they split for a reason. Because those two, right? You know, they just, there was never any love from Belichick to Brady in that sense. That all the winning, man, you saw them after they win the Super Bowl and they hug and all that other stuff. But I never got the sense, and I see it with Andy Reid. Like, I see it with Andy and Mahomes. And I see it with Andy and Donovan. Right?
Yeah, they were close.
I mean, when you're the head coach and you're the quarterback and you're the offensive head coach and you're the guy that's with him all the time, the play caller, the play designer, I don't know. And then you hear all those stories about Carson, he's tough to work with, and then I always thought Doug was lovey-dovey with Foles. Oh, Nick. We got confidence in Nick. We love Nick. Now, again, he and Nick won a Super Bowl. And Nick called Philly. So, I don't know. You know, and maybe Carson is. Because we're not there every night, every day. Every morning at 6 o'clock and going over stuff. I have no idea. I mean, I go back to that Joe Santaluguina story when he talked about Carson being difficult.
And he's a bully.
That whole thing came. I don't know. I mean, is that why he and Doug are, he says, Doug, I don't like your offense, or I don't like the way you run things, or I disagree, and Doug doesn't want you to disagree. I have no idea. Or it could be nothing.
It's just crazy because you see Rodgers on the field, like, actively disagreeing with his head coaches, right? They cut away to Rodgers on the sideline, and you could tell that he has just this face of disgust sometimes, or he's rolling his eyes, right? Whereas Wentz just goes back to the bench, he looks at the iPad. So maybe it has to be something behind closed doors. If there is something there, it's all behind closed doors.
Well, I will say this, too. He's not like that. Like, he's not an eye roller.
No, he's not.
Wentz is pretty straight up dude, right? Like, he toes the line. He's a respectful guy. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, all the things, the nice things that he said about Jalen Hurts, right?
Right.
That's a prime example.
And you know.
Yeah, he's feeling a certain type of way.
Like, we nuts. I don't want that kid. Why'd you drift that kid?
Yeah, dude, I threw a Deontay Burnett last year.
Right.
You're giving me Jalen Hurts in the second round?
Exactly. All right. Well, I want to discuss lots to discuss today.
I also have I got the Doug audio from the playoff game. So we'll play that too. Because there is a certain tone, it seems, or like a certain lack of backing of his franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
maybe we are diving too deep into it.
Yeah, I mean, listen. We could all be, like, I could easily be goofy and being at home, pandemic, right? Like, sometimes you start to see conspiracies when they're not there. Plus, you're watching all these shows of conspiracies, right? So, who knows? I mean, I could definitely be seeing stuff, but it just seems odd. And Mikey Miss agreed. 610-632-0975 is the phone number and how to reach us. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas. He's back right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 10:21 on this Wednesday morning. So we're talking about Carson and we're talking about Doug and their relationship. If you know, again, in fairness, you know, we don't know. We're not there, and you know, maybe that's just, you know, everybody's got a different working relationship. And everybody's kind of, you know, everybody has that different how you view. And, you know, Carson, remember, Carson's a different type of dude, too. He's from a completely different area, right? Like North Dakota, you know, Doug's been around, right? So Doug's been around. He's been in locker rooms. And, you know, Brett Favre loved Doug. Like, from all accounts, they all love Doug, right? You know, all around the NFL. And then, you know, he's been all over the place, and he's kind of like, you know, been here for a long time. So he's kind of different dude. Carson's from North Dakota, man. He is highly religious. He's unto himself. He's, you know, except if you're in that, in his, you know, church, and he likes to hunt, so he likes to be alone, he likes his family, you know, he's a different type of dude. He's not as, you know, we're, I think, on the East Coast, because we live on top of each other, we're more social beings. Like, you're forced to be social beings. I know I'm getting deep here, but we're forced to be social beings because we live on top of each other. There's a lot of people on the East Coast. We live in a big city. Carson comes from a very rural area. You know, different ways, different customs, the whole thing. I mean, he could just be a different cat. I mean, that's a distinct possibility. You agree?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you're so right. I mean, personalities differ all over the world. I mean, It's so much different. I mean, even not just personalities, like trash talk, like everything's different. Remember how bad Minnesota was at trash talking?
Right.
Right. Like the Eagles Vikings quote unquote rivalry was stupid because
right.
You want to talk trash talking. Philadelphia is going to run away with that. It's going to be 100 times out of 100. We win that battle. So yeah, I mean, all over the world, people are different. And you're right. I mean, Carson came from an area where it was a lot of outdoorsy, alone time kind of stuff, and especially his likes of hunting. He's not sitting around with 15 dudes and talking shop. He's sitting and being quiet and finding peace and then killing a deer, and then they celebrate with a picture of the deer. And like that's their together time.
Right. A couple beers, and I guess that's, you know. Yeah, I you know, again, I mean, I don't know that lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You know, they come from very different background. So, you know, I mean, that could be it too. He's just not a lovey type of guy, right? That's a possibility. That, you know, that maybe Doug did try to be that guy with him, and he kind of, you know, backed Doug off.
Yeah, because we talk about it all the time. There are some players that need the arm around them.
Right.
Right? Like we
don't need it.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's not that guy.
Now, Carson goes off the field. As soon as a series comes to an end, he goes off the field and he goes right to the bench. And people have a problem with this. I've talked to, doing the post-game show last year, I can't tell you how many complaints I got from people saying, every time Carson leaves the field, whether it's a touchdown or an interception, he doesn't celebrate or he doesn't say my bad. He goes right to the bench and he looks at that stupid tablet. Like, there are people that complain about that.
No, but you know what, though? If you go back, because I don't think that's accurate. If you go back, and I remember watching behind-the-scenes footage of Carson's rookie year, and he did do my bads.
Yes, he did.
I mean, I don't think that's it. I don't think he seems to be always being doing. I don't think it's Wentz not doing that. I think he's a my bad kind of dude.
But maybe last year was different. And I mean, maybe last year, you know, you're not going to be frustrated with your receivers when you're a rookie. You know that when you're the second overall pick, you know your team is sort of in a rebuild mode.
Right.
You're 3 years in, and you shouldn't be playing with practice squad receivers. So maybe people saw it. And again, this came back to people saying, listen, there was a bad series. And instead of him going to his practice squad receivers that he didn't have time to really work with and talk with them, he would go back to the tablet. And a lot of people had an issue with that last year in game. Now, we don't see what happens once the defense goes on the field. Maybe he does walk around and say, my bad. But that first initial shot of him sitting on the bench right when the series came to an end, looking at the tablet, people have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Maybe that's his personality.
And I got to tell you, first of all, I don't think it's accurate. I still think he's a my bad guy. But I'll drop it for the moment. I remember Five would sit there with a towel over his head.
Yep.
At least he's looking at the tablet. Like, I like the fact he looks at the tablet. Right?
Yeah, unless he's getting too much information. I don't know.
Oh, come on, stop. Too much. He can't get too much information.
Can in baseball, going up to bat.
Okay, but that's football, and no. He's not. I got no problem with him. In fact, I want him.
Looking at
stupid.
The tablet.
I want him looking at the tablet. Look at the tablet. Like, go ahead, look at the tablet. I want him there. I want his face buried in that thing. Figure something out, Carson. That's what I want him. Right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people have a problem with him not talking to his teammates.
Stupid. I think it's stupid because I do think you can't look at cutaways, man.
Right, you have to watch Carson the entire time.
You can't look at cutaways. That's bad. That's bad. I mean, I would like to see more. And again, you don't. I look at it when I'm at the game. I'll look and make sure. I always look at Doug and him because I want Doug to go over and coach him more. But I don't see it. I don't see those two, the great interaction with those two. Not like you see it with Reed and Mahomes and some other quarterbacks, right?
But I wonder, I don't know, maybe Doug is, his head is in game, his head is buried too deep into the play chart. And I wonder if that's part of it.
All right, so let's do this, all right? Because I don't know, I've been in a football mode. I don't know why. But I like to talk about Doug today. We rarely talk about Doug. You know, the Howie gripes are there. We've talked about Howie. And in fairness, you know, Howie's taking a lot of blame. And Doug escapes it. Right? Like, we all groused about the pick. You're going to tell me Doug sounds excited when he talks about Jalen Hurts. Don't he?
Yeah, he does. I also feel like he has to, though.
I don't know. He sounds excited. I know he was on. I know he's got to be on board. That's not Howie going rogue. Howie's not a rogue guy. It's not Howie going, no, I'm taking Hurts. That's a universal pick. Howie doesn't bring up, when he brings up the quarterback thing, and it got kind of misconstrued, in fairness, like they're a good quarterback group. Right? You know, they have good coaches, Press Taylor, they got good quarterback people. Doug, you know? So I think that's what he meant. And I think he's not saying that if Doug's not on board.
Right.
If Doug says, no, we can't take Hurts. I don't think Howie's doing it. I don't think Howie's taking him. I think they had to agree on it.
Okay. I probably agree with you. I think. I'm just trying to think. Like, I don't know. Does Howie go rogue? I don't know.
No. No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. You can read between the lines. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
All right. Gotcha.
Gosh, it went great.
I mean, I think something that big using a second round pick when there's all the talent, I think that's an organizational decision. I think it's Doug, it's Howie, and it's Jeffrey. That it's a decision from the triad. It's the triumvirate.
Yeah, I just remember Howie saying after they drafted Hurts, he was interviewed, obviously, did the press conference, and he said, yeah, we really narrowed down our group to agree on the Jalen Hurts pick. And I was like, wait, so maybe he narrowed it down to three people who wanted to do it, but the other 900 said no?
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, if you ask me, again, I know nothing, but if you ask me how that pick came, it was a Howie, Doug, and Jeffrey pick. And Andy Waddle went, nah, there's other guys out we should take. Now Andy's the personnel guy.
Yes.
And on that Saturday, I think Andy took control of the draft. Andy's a bright dude. He's a Joe Douglas guy. I like Andy a lot. But again, we can all differ on direction. But I think that's an upper management, the top floor decision, drafting Hurts. And it doesn't get more top floor than Jeffrey Lurie, Doug, and Howie.
Right.
I think those three agreed, and they took Hurts. But, you know, we blame Howie unfairly, like it was just him going rogue. And so let's examine Doug today. Doug as a coach. Doug, where is he? He's an interesting guy because he gets such high marks at leading men. Right? Like, his everyday man approach works. His players like him. And better than just like him, because we've seen coaches whose players like them, they play for him. Right?
Yeah, clearly.
They play for the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the last 2 years.
They play hard. Like, you can't discount that. That's a huge feather in Doug's visor.
Right.
You know? However, as an X and O man, as a game manager, yeah.
But I see, I can't say that.
Really?
I can't say yeah.
I do the yeah.
I look at the roster and I go, eh. And I go, all right, so he can only do so much. Like, those last 4 weeks, they didn't do anything special play calling wise.
Is it smart that after Wentz comes out of concussion protocol?
No, to run a read option, right, you know, or quarterback design run. No, it's not smart at all. It's dumb.
There's like three times a game he'll call play. I'll go, what?
Yes.
So we're off the bat. Eh. I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt by saying eh. You don't think there's three plays a game you go, what are you thinking?
No, I agree with you. I mean,
like, egregious. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, there's times where it's third and inches, and, you know, instead of running the quarterback sneak, right, they're going to take a shot downfield.
Yeah,
and they go, all right, we knew we were going to go for it on fourth down, and then they don't get it, they get stopped, right. And then it's turnover on downs. And I go, well, if you just did it on third down,
right,
you could have gotten the first down. Boom, you're still moving.
Listen, everything's subjective, right? I mean, I understand it, coaches have different feels for the game. I don't jive with his feel for the game a lot. Like, I think he's a great, like, as much as I'll give him all the bouquets and really that's the most important thing. As a guy who has a feel for the game, I sometimes I go, eh. And I like his aggressive approach on fourth down to a point. Sometimes I think, you know, fourth and sixth, I'll take the three.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Well, I don't know why you're going for it this far. You know, there's certain things like, you go, come on, relax. Get the analytics guys out of your helmet, out of your headphone, all right? Tell the non-football guys, the math guys, to relay their message.
Yeah, he'll give you an answer. Like, if you're up five, he'll go, well, we'd rather be up 12 than up eight. And it's like, you're right, but on fourth and six, come on.
There's such a thing as risk and reward.
Yes.
So I'm not a big fan of how he is, his feel for the game.
There are questionable decisions. You're right.
Managing the game.
You're right. There are a lot of questionable
decisions. I don't like his offense. I mean, his offense is all right. Again, I'm not in love. I was real with you. Like, you know, I felt about Andy. Like, I loved Andy. Like, Andy's mind, he just needed players to execute. Because his mind, he's a really, really sharp offensive dude. And now you see it.
Yes. Because he also, like you say, it's the guys that execute around him. But, I mean, I don't know. I go back to last year, and there were a couple times. Remember the Falcons game where that was the game where they were going to run 12 personnel, and then Goddard's gone in, like, warm-ups, and Deshaun's not good to go, and all of a sudden everybody's hurt. And, like, I just feel like that happened a lot. Like, drafting, even going before that, drafting Arthego Whiteside, you go, all right, well, you just hurt yourself because now you have two tall, slow receivers. Deshaun gets hurt. You have no deep threat. It's supposed to be Nelson Aguilar. You can't run the same plays with Aguilar as Deshaun Jackson's position. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, and there are times where I shake my head or I roll my eyes at a decision by Doug, and then his explanation sometimes post-game, I go, you're still wrong, Doug.
Yeah, and he'll double down, triple down, you know, dude. Bad idea.
But I can't help but look at the personnel in the field, and I go, I don't know. They kind of have to run the stink and dunk offense.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Greg Ward and Boston Scott, who really contributed, right?
Big time.
They were under his nose. They were under his nose.
Right.
He didn't go, maybe I should play these two. Over Nelly. I mean, you got to recognize talent, no?
Yeah, and I go back to it. I firmly believe.
Come on, man. Like, that is, you're the coach. You got to see what guys can do. Come on, man. You can't defend that. That's indefensible.
But I wonder, is Doug allowed to make the call? Hey,
oh, damn right he is.
But I will stand by this idea that
stop making excuses.
The reason why Mac Hollins was on the roster over Greg Ward was they don't want to admit on another failed draft pick. So they keep Mac Hollins on the roster until they go, wow, all right, this guy's just so bad, we have to go to Greg Ward. That's why I don't think they drafted a receiver in the second round this year, because they didn't want to admit, wow, we really messed up drafting J.J. Arcega-Whiteside last year in the second round.
Hey, that's a mistake in thinking. I don't know that they think that way. That's a mistake.
I think it is a mistake for them to think that way.
But I don't believe your premise that Peterson can't say, hey, man, I'm going to give Greg Ward a shot. I like the way he looks. I'm going to give Boston Scott a shot. I like the way he looks. Do you remember you and I doing the show? And do you remember what I said about Boston Scott?
You wanted him out there, and that was during it was either the Vikings or the Cowboys game when they were getting crushed.
Right.
And they were just running, you know, halfback draws and dump offs to Boston Scott, and you went, I could see something with this guy.
Yeah. If I could see something in a mop-up game, he can't see something in practice? Come on, dude. Like, that's egregious. I'll give him all the props with a lot of things, but I'm going to be real. If I'm going to look at him and objectively, dissect him as a coach, then I'm not giving him benefit of that. I mean, that's any coach. You got to know your talent. I mean, that's 101. You got to see it,
and you got to know your quarterback. And I still, go ahead.
Now, the other thing I'm going to leave you with, and we're going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to talk to everybody. But who do you trust more with the offense? Like, if you ask me, I'd rather Wentz be Peyton Manning. I trust Wentz more than I trust Doug, as far as the offensive mind. What about you?
See, that's a tough question.
I know it is.
That's very tough. It's tough because I go, Carson, when he was handed the keys in 2017, you saw what he did. You know, they were running a fast-paced, up-tempo offense, and he wasn't doing everything at the line, but he had a lot of control at the line, right? And they score, he throws 30 touchdowns, and, you know, the 50-burger against the Broncos, and before he gets hurt, they're an incredible record of 11-2. But then I also look at Doug, and I go, wow, he was able to win a Super Bowl with his backup quarterback. The following year, he was able to get to an Alshon Jeffrey drop away from getting back to the NFC Championship game again with his backup quarterback.
Yeah, but again, is that coaching, leading of men, which I give him, again, I've already said that that's more important. So I'm giving Doug more praise because that's more important. The leading of men. They won a Super Bowl. They won. Let's go back and look at those three games, right? Like, you believed the biggest play call was by Foles, right? I mean, come on. Foles played out of his mind that game against a bad secondary. The Vikings game turns on an interception. And the Falcons game was, you know, a defensive struggle.
Right.
I mean, where's that offensive genius? How's that equal offensive genius?
I don't think he's a genius.
Well, that's my point. Like, I look at him, I go, the reason why he wins is because guys play for him. Guys trust him. You know, you got to be a successful coach. You know, 50% of it off the bat is guys trust you, guys play for you.
Yeah, they got to buy in. I mean, you saw that was one of the downfalls of Chip.
He's got that in spades. All right, we'll just keep this. It's a good discussion. And we'll open up the phone line, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm looking at a picture my man Anthony sent me on the gram of Jalen rocking the number 2 jersey and the Kelly Green.
Of course. Now we have to have the Kelly Green conversation again.
He actually looks good, man. I gotta admit, he looks good. He looks good at Hurts and Green.
What about the real Eagle jersey, the black one? I'm kidding. I know how much you love him.
Listen, again, it's not our color.
I know.
Why do you want to rip off somebody else's color?
You got some green in the number. You got some green in the numbers there.
Colors. Like, why do you want to steal somebody else's colors?
I like that when they go with the green pants. Midnight green pants with the black top. They haven't done that in a while.
Again, There's nothing to do with us. All right, nothing to do with it.
That picture of Jalen Hurts, I'm holding a clipboard.
I'll be honest.
That's always going to be good this year.
Here's the thing. If they didn't have Carson Wentz, I'd be rooting like hell for Jalen Hurts. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, oh, man, I could see the comparison to Russell Wilson. Let's go.
I keep it real. Like, I still don't think he's, I think the odds are against him to make it.
Sorry, Brady.
All right? But, they got a quarterback. All right, you ready? And we're going to get to the phone lines. I have the Field of 64 set of salutations.
Oh, yes.
You want to hear the regions?
Yes. I mean, I would love the regions.
All right. The top left quadrant. Bro is the number one overall seed against Moses. The 7-10 is Bones v. Fella. The 5-12, Bo versus Home Slice.
The you're going Bo at number five?
The five seed, yeah. Why? You think it's low?
I think should be like a double digit seed.
Oh, really?
I think that's just so specific. Like, I don't hear anyone else saying Bo other than you, to be honest.
Well, it's a South Philly thing, so, whatever. I'm doing it, so I guess that's why it's five.
Yeah, that's true.
Pal, number three, 314, Pal versus Home Skillet.
I love the Home Skillet.
I got Home Slice and Home Skillet in the same region. The 215 there is Buddy versus Einstein. 413, Champ versus Mate. 6'11", Fam versus Hoss.
Fam's going to run away with that one.
I'm all about Fam there. And the 8'9" is Daddy versus Gangsta. You like that region?
I do. What was Orlovsky? Was he more Bud or Buddy? I forget. He's more Bud, right?
Bud. Hey, Bud.
So wherever Bud is, that's the Orlovsky region.
Are you ready? It's complete. You want the Bud region?
Yeah, give me the Bud region.
All right, that's completely on the opposite end. That number one seed is Brother, number one seed. That faces off against Skip. Then 7-10, Friend versus Kujin. 3-14. Money versus Big Guy. 5-12, Kid versus Big Time. 2-15, you ready? Bud is the two seed versus Cool Breeze at 15. The 8-9 game in that region is G versus OG.
How about that?
The 4-13 is Playa versus Holmes. The 6-11 is Jack versus Pimp. What do you think of that?
I got to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if my brain is just working a certain type of way.
Yeah.
When you spelled Cool Breeze, how'd you spell it?
How do I spell it?
Yeah.
Why? What's your point?
I don't know. When I think of Cool Breeze, I went K.
Spelled it with a K.
My brain just broken right now?
No, I spelled it with a K.
Did you? All right, yeah. Cool.
But you agreed to see, like, so the one seed's brother, because I got bro of the other one seed.
Yes.
The two seed there is Bud, 3-seed Money, 4-seed Player. You agree with that?
Yes, I could see an upset there, though.
All right. Which one?
Money.
Money, lose the Big Guy.
I could see it.
Really?
I could see it.
I'm shocked. I'll just give the other ones real quick. You ready? So in the top right-hand corner, the dude region. Dude is the one seed. Slugger, the 16 seed. Cuz is the two seed. Bloke, 15 seed. The three seed is Yo versus Sarge, the 14 seed. The four seed is, where am I at here? Boss versus All-Star. Then you got the 5-12 game, Guy versus Sport. Then you got 6-Mo, 11-Ace. And then the 8-9, or the 7-10 is Unk versus Man. And the 8-9 is Slim versus Slick.
Love the Slim-Slick matchup.
Right? You go with that?
I'm putting my money on Slick.
Do you any problems with that seed, that region?
Quick looker? No. I think that was perfect, actually.
I mean, Dude, Cuz, Yo, and Boss equal the top four.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Now, here's the last region, the dog region. Dog number one. Dog faces off against Good Looking, the 16 seed. The 7-10 is Partner versus Youngin. The 3-14 is Homie versus Old Head. 5-12, you ready? Bra versus Brother Man. The 2-15, My Man versus Captain. The 8-9, Son versus Blood. The 4-13, Chief versus Coombs. And then finally, the 6-11.
Look out. Dog is obviously is number one seed, but they got a tough matchup with My Man or Homie.
I know, man, right? It's amazing. Now, VG says on the text board, South Philly people have to recuse themselves on all dude matchups. Their bias is not reflective of society at large. You agree with that?
So he says dude's a South Philly thing?
No, I told you. The South Philly people are anti-dude.
Oh, that's right. You said that. Okay.
The old school South Philly people. They're anti-dude. So he says they got to recuse themselves.
Yeah, but are they pro? Are they pro-slugger?
He's a big dude guy. Yeah. Anyway, here it is. The region of 64. Salutations. I actually had a blast doing that. You know that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.